Once again, we're going back to the One Anothering series that Bill started a while back. And so I have a short video clip that I found. So let's watch that real quick. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to hear your word. I ask that you would speak through me. Give us open hearts and open ears to hear your word. Amen. All right, that's it. That's the video. That's the whole sermon. I think it kind of does its job. You know, the idea of serving one another. This is the verse. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. The idea of serving is nothing new. The idea of serving is something that we know we're supposed to be doing, that we know is ingrained in the Christian culture. But the question then is, what is preventing us at times as well? And so I see, when we read this, we were called to be free. Free of what? We are freed of the old Jewish rites and ceremonies, free of the bondage of sin. And that's because of the freedom that we have in Christ, that we can serve. But then we see the next part, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That because of this freedom, that there are temptations, there are things going on inside of us and around us that can prevent us from serving. Later in Galatians, this is what it says is the sinful nature. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's a ton of things. And there's even more in Romans and Corinthians. But that is what is going on sometimes inside of us. Those are things that are preventing us from serving other people. But once we have an idea of why we're serving, and if we serve out of love, those obstacles get out of the way. And it's out of love that the true serving happens. I love the idea that Christ came to fulfill the law. And he said, a new command I give you. And what we see here is that the entire law is summed up in a single command to love your neighbor as yourself. That we worship him and that we serve God at the same time when we serve others. So it got me to think, how do we know what serving looks like? And I think you have to look at Jesus. To see how we should serve and how it is to serve, we have to look at Jesus. So I think about John 13. I remember it says it was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew where he had come from. He knew where his power had come from. And he said, I now want to show the full extent of my love to my disciples. And so he, after the meal was served, he got up from the table. And I'm sure there were dirty feet. They were sweating. They're thinking, man, let's have a big feast. We just had some great adventures with Jesus. And instead he got up. He took off his outer garments, put on a towel, put it around his waist. He got a bowl, filled it with water, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he goes down the line. He even washes Judas' feet, the man he knows that he's going to betray him. Jesus got down on his knees. He went from a high position to one that is one of a servant. What an example that we have in Jesus of what it means to serve. Later on, this is what he says. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. He pleads with us to wash each other's feet. He pleads with us to serve one another, to be with each other, and to love each other out of love. He says that he knew where he had come from and where he was going. He knew that the Father loved him, and because of that love, he was able to serve other people. Now, this is nothing new. This is something that we know. This is something that we've heard our entire lives. And it got me to think, even the world knows it's right to serve. Even the world says, you need to volunteer. If you ask organizations and corporations and successful people, what does it take to be successful? What does it take to be a good person? Serving is part of that. Volunteering is part of that. That got me to think, what is the difference? It got me to think, people in the Peace Corps, they're doing things that are great things. People in Big Brother and mentorship programs, they're doing great things. What makes it different than when I'm investing in a kid because of Jesus, and then when some other adult is doing the same thing just because he wants to help? Either way, someone's getting help. Someone's being served. So I don't think it's an issue of who's being served or what's the result of it. I think it's more about where's our heart and what's the motivation and who ultimately are we serving? There's a verse in Ephesians that we like to put up. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. I think the problem that we run into is that we're either serving others because we're serving either God or we're serving man. And that the idea of what is the difference between serving God and man? So when I first started being just a volunteer of some sorts, I can remember when I was just serving for myself, as a difference to when I was serving with God. There was a difference. There was a difference in my heart. There was a difference in how I felt afterwards. The actual serving wasn't any different. I didn't serve any more or any less because of the reason why I was serving. I think sometimes we get mixed up. We're thinking, like, just because we're serving for God, it doesn't mean that it would be better. It doesn't mean that the person we're serving will automatically know Jesus. God can use it all. Sometimes I think we put too much pressure on ourselves. I think, I need to be the one to bring Jesus to these people. I need to be the one to do that. When in actuality, God uses it all, no matter what. He can use someone that doesn't know faith to bring the other person to faith. What I'm talking about is we receive a reward when we serve the Lord. And that's what it says. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. I had this analogy I use a lot, this idea of work crew. This is something where, once again, high school kids volunteer their time for a month or for a week or for a weekend to serve in some capacity. They're scrubbing the toilets, they're doing the dishes, they're cooking the food, they work about 12 hours a day, they don't get much sleep, they don't really get to experience the camp experience because they're behind the scenes. I bet you that the kids getting served sometimes don't know if the other people are, that they know Jesus or not. That the kids eating the food, sometimes they don't know. The difference that I've seen when I've been on a work crew boss is that the kids truly trying to love Jesus and truly serving out of a love of Christ and serving God first is that they are filled with the joy. They are filled with His Spirit. As opposed to the ones that are not, then they still feel joy. They still feel a sense of accomplishment. But there is, in my mind, a big difference. When I think, I think sometimes I get into the mistake of thinking when I accomplish something, when I serve someone, it's not good for me to think, man, I did a really good job. That was really good. I think, man, I should not be saying that because that is not allowing myself to give glory to God. I just need to be saying to Him, God, You did that. You were awesome because You did that. Instead of saying, I did a good job. I think it's a little bit of both. I think God delights in us when He says, yes, You did do a good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. He wants us to feel accomplished. He wants us to feel like You did a good job. But I think it's an altering of our mindset. I think it's an altering of saying, rather than, I did a good job, but more that, God, You really used me, and I'm so glad that You did. I wrote it this other way. It's acknowledging that God did something through us that made us feel good about serving. And so when we serve, I don't think it's a problem that we feel like we did something great and that we feel like, man, we made an impact. And to celebrate that. But I think it's smart to reorient that back to God and to see, God, you accomplished that. It's because of Your strength and Your power that it actually happened. But thanking Him that it did. So it got me to think about Okay, if the issue is, are we serving God or serving man, how then do we know which one are we serving? And so here's a quick slide for that. I believe that we know by how we pray. If we're serving God, then we are not trying to bend His will to what we want. If we are serving God, then we are trying to bend our will to His. We are trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? In what capacity can I do that? As opposed to, God, I want to do this, so make sure that it happens. Too often I do that also. Ultimately, His plan is perfect and His plan is good. So what are we praying for? Are we praying that the people will meet Jesus when we serve them? Or are we praying, Lord, just give me a good time? I think another thing that we know is we know by who we rely on. Are we relying on our strength or God's strength? This one's difficult. This one is difficult for me still, and will be difficult. We are gifted people. We are people that are very capable. And it's difficult to know sometimes, all right, am I relying on His strength or on my strength? So I was thinking about this. How I know if I'm relying on God's strength is the outcome afterwards. Am I filled with His Spirit afterwards? Am I feel like, man, God really did that? Or do I feel depleted in the sense of, I am carrying too many burdens on my shoulder? When I'm doing this on my strength, then I'm carrying the burden, and it falls with me as well. I need to ask myself daily, am I going to rely on His strength or my strength when I go meet with kids, when I go meet with donors? And it wavers a lot. And the last one is, we know by why we serve. The question is, are we serving for a moment or for a lifestyle? My favorite job so far was the one that I worked in the circus, I guess 5 years ago now. I loved that job. Loved it. Not just because it was a circus and the entertainment business and that kind of stuff, but I loved it because I got to serve for the first time not with Young Life. Young Life had become something that I loved to do and it became more of a job. But the circus was finally something that I could serve through the capacity that God had given me. There was no title. There was no volunteer leader. There was no potential area director. It was, you were the equipment manager and entertainer. And I said, great. Perfect. There's nothing, no title, but I can still serve with the mentality of I want to bring Jesus to people and I want to serve wholeheartedly for Him, knowing that this is the opportunity that He has given me. This is a verse in 1 Peter. It said that God has given us His gifts. I'm going to read it really quick. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That we have all been gifted. That we have His gifts is enough. That we have His grace. And that through those gifts, God's grace gets to move forward. So this job that I had in the circus, I was working sometimes alone. I was making carnival games. Literally making carnival games every day. Then I would make a flying trapeze, and then I would go teach people how to fly. Then I would meet with a client and see, how can I serve you? What do you need? Then I'd drive this big, white, unmarked van with a friend and just ask him about life. There was no formula. There was no handbook. There was no, you need to do this, and this, and this. It was, how can I just serve people? How can I just love people? And it wasn't like I woke up and thought, okay, now I need to start serving. But it was, I am just serving God through this job. And I think too often we get mixed up with the thinking to serve means just to serve in the church, or you need to be a pastor, or you need to be someone in ministry to serve. And that is so wrong. That serving is wherever you're at. Whether you're in business, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're in school. The idea is to serve where you're at and to serve God through that. And so I urge and encourage us to think, what gifts have we been given? Are we just serving for a moment? Are we just serving for this season, just for an hour a day? Or are we waking up thinking, God, how will I serve you? And how can I serve others through that? And I believe that is why, or that is a big difference. The result of serving God, the result of serving others because of that, is what ultimately we all want. It brings us closer to Jesus. Serving God and serving others brings us closer to Jesus. We see what it means to wash each other's feet. We see what it means to be like Him. That's what we want. That's what I want. I want to know, what is it like to be Jesus? What is it like to know Him? Serving does that. Serving brings us closer to Jesus. There's this quote that I found that says that you are most like Jesus when serving others. I truly believe that. Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, was just serving people the whole time. And so my encouragement is, what is preventing us from serving? But then really to think through, who are we really actually serving in the end? Are we serving man, or are we serving God? And so my question to leave us with is, who will you serve for the rest of your life? Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that you give us the ultimate example, Jesus, of what it means to be a servant. Thank you that you did not come to be served, but you came to serve and offer your life as a ransom for the many. So Jesus, thank you for the example that you give us. Thank you for the life that you give us as well. Thank you that in you there is life, and that we experience that fully in you. Thanks to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.